So, a slide there, Harvest Thanksgiving, don't forget the Lord. We live in a day when people sometimes don't say please and thank you. You know, you stand aside till it's somebody through the door and they just walk through. And I confess, because I'm the kind of person I am, if they just ignore me when I open my door for them, I say a very loud, sarcastic thank you, like that. Also, I do the same when I'm on my bike, you know, if you're cycling along a cycle trail and you get dog walkers. Sorry if you're a dog walker. You're on long leads and you ring your bell or you whistle and they just totally ignore you. And I cycle past them and go, thank you. So I get a wee bit irritated when people don't say thank you. The same thing in the car. You know, you're driving along and there's a car parked. So the two of you, the car coming towards you and you can't pass the space. So you slow down and you let them pass. And they just drive past. I want them to give me a wave. So that's the way I am. My wife's very much into please and thank you. And we've got one of these Amazon Echoes, you know, where you ask Alexa to do something, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, so Jean will say, Alexa, the last thing she was asking was, Alexa, play Fernando by Cher. Some of you have seen Mamma Mia. Play Fernando by Cher, please. She said, Alexa's not a real person, dear, so it's no matter whether you say please to her or not. But better to err on the safe side. So we're here to give thanks for Harvest, but we're also here to say thank you to God. That's the big reason we're here today. And there's three things that we want to say thank you to God for today. Number one, for God's promise, and we'll look at that. And then for God's provision, and we'll look at that. And then a one which I've actually called God's prayer, because it's a prayer that God told us to say. So, God's promise. Here is God's promise. In Genesis 8, verse 22, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest will never cease. That was the promise of God. Now, it's very interesting. It's the first mention of harvest in the Bible. And it's very interesting when that was said. A most unlikely time. Because here is when it was said. There it is there. It was said to Noah. You see the rainbow in the background. And it was said immediately after the flood. Now you'll know the story of the flood. God decided the world to become so wicked that he wanted to judge the world. And he asked Noah to build an ark in order that he and his family would be saved. And you know the interesting thing about the ark? If you actually read the story about it in the New Testament, I mean, I used to think that was just for Noah and his family and for all the animals, two by two. But the ark was there for everybody, because the word of God, it tells us this: Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. So Noah preached to them, but the people ignored him. And of course the flood came, but Noah and his family were saved. And when the flood was passed, and they came out of the ark, the first thing that Noah did, this is very, very interesting and very, very important. The first thing that Noah did when he came out of the ark was he thanked God. Now, the way they thanked God in these days was they built an offering and they made a sacrifice. And the very first thing that Noah did when he came out of the ark was he built an altar and he thanked God. So what was he thanking God for? He was thanking God for his promise. His promise. He was thanking God that God had saved him and his family in the ark. And then the next thing we're looking at is God's provision. That's God's promise. God's provision. And here we have a very famous story. And it's a story this time, not about harvest initially, but about seed time. because before the plants can obviously be harvested, they have to be planted. The seed has to be sown. And Jesus told this very important story. It's called the parable of the sower. And this is perhaps the most important parable in the whole of the Bible. Now, a parable, as you know, is a story about everyday things, but it's got a special meaning. It's got a bigger meaning. It's got a spiritual meaning. So Jesus lived in a farming community, much as many of you live in a farming community. So he used everyday things to get across his message. And in this story, keep this in mind, the sower and the seed. And the sower in the story is Jesus. And the seed is the Word of God. But not only is the seed the Word of God, the seed is Jesus himself, because he is the Word of God. And then the third little bit in the story is we are the soil, the different kind of soils that the seed landed on. So Jesus said, so a sower went out to sow, and he scattered his seed. And some of the seed fell on the footpath. A footpath maybe at the side of the field. They maybe didn't have fences and things like that that we have in our fields today. They would just be rough boundaries there. So some of the seed fell on the footpath. And before it could even get into the soil, the birds came and ate it and picked it up. And then as the sower continued to sow, some of the seed fell on rocky soil in the very shallow ground. And it immediately started to grow in the heat of the sun. But because the soil was so shallow and rocky, when the sun came up, the sun scorched it. And the plants withered. And then the third kind of soil was the seed among the thorns. Some of it went into where thorns were growing. And what happened was this. The thorns grew up and they choked the life out of it. I'll tell you what I've been doing the whole of the last week. If you were a bit closer, you would see all the scratches and things that I have. I don't like gardening. I know that's maybe a heresy, but I don't like gardening. I've got quite a big garden at the back. And we've been in the house now since 1994, 24 years. And about 20 years ago, I planted some plants, and I planted a lovely decorative tree at the foot of the garden. At the foot of our garden, there's a wall about 4 feet high, and then there's a big space of, I was going to say dead ground, actually it's dead ground because it backs onto the cemetery. Just occurred to me. We've got this piece of about 30 feet, and then we've got the big high cemetery wall, and there's a big chestnut tree there. But I planted this nice tree at the foot of the garden. It'd be about this high. And it had a stem maybe about that thick, and it had a bushy top to it. And I didn't look after it. And I decided this week I have to start cutting down all of these trees, because this particular tree that started off about that height, very decorative tree, a whole lot of other big things started growing out the foot of it, about 12 or 15 of them. Great big trunks about this thick, and they're growing right up through the telephone wires. Why? Because I hadn't looked after it. I hadn't looked after it. So what I had to do was, I had to fight my way through with loppers and everything else to get to this. And then I had to use my electric saw to saw these branches down. They were all falling on top of me. And I was cleaning the garden, and I had a huge mountain of rubbish, about maybe 6 feet high and about 10 feet long. And I had to get rid of it. And I wanted to burn it. But my wife says, no, you can't burn it. That's against the law. And I checked the local regulations, and it seemed it'd be okay to burn it as long as your neighbours didn't complain. But she said, you're not burning that. I said, ain't nothing, we're going to get rid of it. So I said, I know what we'll do. I had a brainwave. I woke up in the morning one morning. I said, I know what we'll do. I'll hire a skip. You know, one of these great big things, a great big skip. So I said, that should be about £50 or something. I write, as the Scottish philosopher said, I ended up paying £240 for a skip. You have to pay £50 to put it in your street. So £240. So the skip came in Monday, just Monday past there. And I came back, I was out with a friend. I came back and this skip sitting here, it's supposed to be an eight-yard skip.
And it was much smaller than I thought. I said, I'm never going to get all this rubbish in it. So the next thing I had to do is I had to go to Screwfix and buy a shredder. That cost me £85. You see, it was very expensive because I didn't look after it, and the thorns had choked it, just as happened in the city. You'll be very pleased that, just I finished off yesterday, the skip is now gigantically full, and Bar comes back tomorrow and takes it away. And I've survived and up the ladders and all kinds of things, much to the concern of my wife. So some of it fell into the ground, but the thorns choked it. And that's what happens. If you come to my garden, you would see an evidence of that. And then some of it fell on good soil. The soil that was prepared for it. The soil that was able to receive it. And it grew and produced a great crop. Some 30, some 60%, some 100-fold. Now, the interesting thing about this story is, when Jesus told parables, he didn't always explain what they meant. He left it for the people to sort out what the meaning was. But in this parable, he actually tells us, his disciples came and said, Lord, why do you speak to the people in parables? Tell us what this story means. Why are you telling this story? So Jesus then explained the story to them. And he said this, the soil, the seed that fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it. He said, that's like people who hear the word, but don't even take it in. They don't listen. And I've been preaching a long time. And before that, I was a school teacher for 25 years. So I'm used to people sometimes not listening. So I can stand up and preach, and sometimes people don't listen, even at the start. And Jesus says, some people don't listen and don't receive the word of God. Don't receive what the Bible is saying. I'm basically saying, boring, boring, boring. Not interested, don't want to listen. He said, some of the people like that. And he said, the birds ate it. And he, in actual fact, do you know what Jesus said? He said, the devil comes and snatches the seed away. You see, Niall was telling us that God's here. But because God's here, the devil wants to be here as well, so that people don't listen to what God has to say through his word. So that was the first soil. And then the second soil was the shallow soil. And these are the kind of people Jesus said that when they hear the word, they hear the message of the good news of the gospel, they say, that's great. Oh, really, really like that. But it only lasts about 5 minutes. They walk out the door and they say, not for me. And he said, some people are like that. And then the third group of people, I've told you in great detail about the thorns choking some of the plants in my garden. These are the people that hear the good news and they start well. And they're saying, this is really good and I really like following Jesus and trusting the Christian life. But then other things come in. Things happen to them. They maybe think, well, this is not really for me. I prefer to go out and do this and do that. Or maybe illness starts to hit them or bad things happen to them. And the thorns all come in and they choke the life. And they say, this is not the life for me. And then the final group is just a good crop. And this is the kind of people that hear the word of God and say, this is amazing. I want the word of God. I want Jesus, who is the word of God, to be in my life. I want him to grow in my life and to develop the characteristics that he wants. And they follow Jesus. And they follow Jesus for the rest of their life. This little section here that we looked at, God's provision for us in Jesus. This is the most important thing I'll say to all of us here this morning. The most important thing we can say thank you for is to accept Jesus as our Savior. Because God has sent Jesus as his provision. It was God's promise, remember, at the time of Noah. He promised Jesus would come as well. And the way that we can say thank you to God today is by saying to Jesus, I'll have you in my life. I still vividly remember, I was 70 in the month of June. I know that seems astonishing as you look at it. Nobody believes it. I think I'm 80. I did a pure digression. I did the online test, you know, the age of your heart. I suppose Niall would mention that one as well. It was an online test. You did it on an iPhone. Get the age of your heart. So I'm 70, and I think I'm pretty fit. You know, I cycled Ride London 100 7 weeks ago, actually. Today, 100 miles in the wet. Really terrible. Show you some pictures of it tonight, if you're here. So I thought, my heart is going to be about 45. Maybe 50. So I answered the questions, only the questions they asked, and then the answer it gave me was, your heart is 92 years old. Now, the big problem with that is the test was wrong, because it didn't ask the right questions. Only asked certain questions. Didn't ask you any questions about your exercise and all that kind of stuff, or what your resting heart rate was and like. Anyway, that's by the way. I'm 70. Do you know when I accepted Jesus as my Saviour? When I was age 6. Age 6. I lived in a little mining village near Hamilton called Burnbank. And I'll never forget it. We lived in a tenement building. We're talking about poverty. There wasn't a lot of food. We had an outside toilet shared by 4 families. My father at that particular time was in America. He was a joiner. He had gone there to make a new life for us in Massachusetts, in America. And when the time came for us to go out and join him, my mother said she wasn't going. He would need to come back. But while he was in America, I remember my mother was, this is what you did, folks, was washing me in the sink. And I was sitting on what they would now call the draining board. I think we called it the bunker. Sitting at the edge with my feet in the sink. And I was talking about these people that did things and did that. And they'll not go to heaven. And my mother said, yes, that's right. But you'll not go to heaven unless you've got Jesus in your heart. And I said, I want Jesus in my heart. And I knelt beside my mother's bed. And I accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was age 6. You can do the maths, that was 64 years ago. By God's grace, I'm still here. You see, some of the seed falls on good ground. So God's promise to Noah, God's provision in Jesus, and then God's prayer. God's prayer. He said to his disciple, just shortly after this, the harvest is plentiful. You know what it's like? You've seen the big combine harvesters and all that. And some of us get stuck behind them down the roads, and we give them our blessings. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Do you know the great thing, folks, is God wants you to help him in harvest. How do we do that? By telling others the good news. Now, you heard that I was 6 when I trusted Jesus. My life's been interesting. Fairly long period as a teacher, and then went into full-time ministry as a pastor of a church, now retired 5 years. But by the grace of God, I'm here with you today. I'm here with you today. Why? Because I want to tell you the other's good news. But what, I'm going to tell you this. When I was a school teacher, we ran the Scripture Union and things like that at school, I saw more people come to faith in Jesus Christ when I was a teacher than ever was, as far as I'm aware. And as a preacher. So it's not just about what you do up here, it's what you do down there. At school, you tell your friends that you go to church. Why do you go to church? I hear about Jesus. I've got Jesus in my heart. It makes such a difference. Or the people you work beside, or the neighbours across the fence that you ask their permission if you're going to burn rubbish in the garden. These are the way that we tell people the good news about Jesus. So, little harvest Thanksgiving talk about God's promise to Noah that seed time and harvest would always be there. And then God's provision in Jesus Christ. Noah was saved in the ark. He was saved because he went into the ark. You and I are saved because we go into Jesus Christ. The most important phrase in the whole of the Bible, in my view, is this: in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. God's promise, God's provision, and then God's prayer. He wants you to help him. Harvest Thanksgiving. But when we think of this, look at the subheading there. Don't forget. Father, I want to thank you for Jesus. I want to thank you for harvest and all the good things that we enjoy. But the best gift of all is the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our prayer indeed today is that all of us will have Jesus in our heart. And then having Jesus in our heart, we'll go and tell others the good news of the gospel. So Lord, bless your people this day with your salvation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening so well.
Service with Hear the Kingdom, Hear the Call of the Kingdom.